Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank in this morning. We are going to talk about summer nutrition and the program designed for kids. Dan Mayer and Curtis Dickerson in this morning. Good morning to both of you. Good to have you here this morning.
Good morning, Ted. Good to be with you.
Good morning, Ted.
We talk about this every spring going into summer. Dan, and I know it's a big concern when school lets out in a lot of programs that schools offer and pantries offer to kids. There's so many programs out there, but all of a sudden you get to summer and there are big concerns.
Yeah, I think people often can lose sight of the fact that so many families who are on the margin rely on the school meals, which are federally provided programs, the lunches, the breakfasts, that gets them through the school year. That's two meals right there and takes a lot of the burden of food insecurity off their plates. But when you get to summer and now those two meals are placed back upon the families, that really gives them a challenge that they sometimes are not up to being able to meet. And so that's why we and other vendors around the community are pursuing the contract for summer feeding service program. And we're just glad to step into this space and try to be a meal provider for so many of those kids in need.
Well, there are so many things that the food bank provides, because you just think during the year and you think of all the pantries that you're supporting. All of a sudden summer comes and a lot of people, you know, hey, it's vacation and we're going to, you know, it's a time to relax. It's not for the food bank.
No, it's actually our highest activity season in many respects. And Curtis and the crew that he works with deserve a lot of credit for stepping up their game in the summer, because you're right. It's a time when people naturally want to just take it easier and recalibrate and, you know, get ready for the holiday season. And for the food banking world, the holiday season is a challenging time as well.
Yeah.
But the summer is really our highest activity season, because it's the highest need season in the community with all those kids out of school.
Curtis, this is a big time for you. This is when I see you during the summer. I see you other times, but never to really talk about this. And your third year of doing this?
Yes, this is my third year of doing the summer nutrition program.
So you got it figured out.
I'm not gonna say I got it figured out, but I feel more comfortable each year. I feel more comfortable each year. I don't feel prepared when it starts, but each year I do feel comfortable, and we always get through it.
You were before we got started here. You were telling me that on Sunday you're going to be going over to King George to do some training. We don't often think of that. As we get going here and talk about some of the sites and what goes on, but for that to all happen, you've got to have people trained and knowing what to do and how to do it, because you're dealing with federal programs and there are rules.
Yeah, it's always the behind the scenes. You know, this year I have a lot of volunteers coming back from last year, so which makes things easier.
Yeah.
As far as training, you know, with those, you just touch on some of the new rules and regulations that have been set up for this year. So it's not as much, because they know the program. They know how to run the program. I got some great volunteers. One of the great things that happened last year, we utilized the school resource officers in Caroline County to be the site supervisors who were in charge of the sites. And, you know, once you have someone who's in charge of the site, know how to run the site and can run the site, make things a lot easier. And we were able to take that experience and expand it. And this year we'll be utilizing the school resource officers in Stafford County to operate our sites in Stafford County. And we're hoping as the program continues to go that we can also bring in the other counties, Spotsylvania County, King George County, utilize school resource officers. It's great because it gives them an opportunity to continue to connect with the children that they work with throughout the school year, to continue to build those relationships, continue to bond with those kids. So it's great. It's great on my side because it helps us to know that I have someone there. I have someone there to run the site. I have someone I can depend on. It's great for them because it helps them to stay in the community and continue to make an impact during the summertime. When they're not seeing the kids every day in school.
Yeah. No, and it gives them, I would think, too, for the school resource officers, too, just a better understanding of these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, anything you can do to help. So what a great partnership that is.
Yeah, it's a great partnership. Great partnership.
You and I and Dan, during the COVID year, I'll never forget it when we stood out there. We stood out, and because everything, nothing was inside, and it was all drive up. And we stood over at Salem Church, and boy, that's where you saw the need. I mean, you got there a little bit early, and everybody was lined up, and it was a steady stream of cars, and not only the number of people involved, but just your people that just kept out a happy face on a hot day.
Yes.
And a lot of, you know, everybody, you start dealing with it, you know, people have questions or people have, you know, this or that. And they kept smiles on their face and kept it going. It was quite the sight.
Yeah, it was great. And I don't want to start naming out volunteers because I'm going to forget someone. But those volunteers that were actually running that site, they're going to be running another site for me this year. And like I said, it's great to have those continued people to. It's great to see the volunteers and how much they enjoy and love the program. And you can tell they enjoy and love the program because they're always asking, all right, when is summer feeding starting again? When is summer feeding starting again? They're ready to come back. They're ready to be a part of it. And that's one of the best parts about it, seeing how much they love it. And their love goes on to the kids as they're serving them. And the fact that they continue to come back shows that we are doing something correct.
I'm trying to remember, is your background in – You had a background in that you're able to kind of slide into this.
Yeah, I worked at the Boys and Girls Club for 17 years.
That's
prior
right.
to coming to the food bank.
Yeah, so you yeah. you've seen this, but there really is a lot that goes behind the scenes. People just drive up and the food's there, and you just think this is what a great program.
Yeah.
But it's you and your team and just training people. I mean, you all just. Need to be applauded for all the work that you've been doing for months ahead of time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank in this morning. We're going to take a quick break and come back, and we'll get into a lot of the details. Fredfood.org for information, and we'll run through all of that. Curtis Dickerson and Dan Mayer here this morning. More coming up by News Talk 1230 WF.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dan Mayer, Curtis Dickerson in this morning for the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank. Dan, I love having you in, and you can come in. You could come in every week, and we would have great shows. But it's amazing to me that we're here sitting here again talking about summer food and dealing with all this, everything just flies by anymore. And I'm sure for you as you plan, because you mentioned, you know, getting ready for summer feeding, you're also having to look forward to the fall and to all kinds of things. There's never really a slow time for the food bank anymore.
No, there's really not. Believe it or not, Ted, tomorrow we start working on our Christmas holiday giveaway program. So
yeah.
It really is always a constant in terms of anticipating things that are going to be needed by the community. But summer feeding really, for us, the ability to support the nutrition of our youth during the summer, 18 and under, with free meals, is really a critical component of what we do, because everybody's heart goes out to making sure that our youth have the proper skills and tools to develop their lives. And part of that is developing their body and keep them healthy. And so we really want to lean into summer nutrition in a way that is powerful. And we feel a certain obligation. There are not many within the community that have the scale to be contractors for this Department of Education program. And we feel it's an obligation to step into that space and be there for the youth of the community.
Well, and you're used to dealing with a lot of these regulations and these things that are required, where a lot of groups would come in and just be overwhelmed. In a large sense, you deal with this all the time.
You're right. We're constantly managing federal programs because those are the most significant sources of food for us, other than perhaps our retail partners within the community. Each year it can ebb and flow in terms of where we get most of our donated food product from, but certainly the federal programs are always our top or second most significant resource of donated food product. So we really do have that experience of understanding what it means to be a federal contractor. And yeah, it's not easy, but certainly we have the scale also to manage that. And good people like Curtis and his supervisor, Director of Programs, Carrie Seeley, is a very integral part of us being prepared for a program like this and managing all the kinds of federal programs that we do.
Well, and you've all, have been able to manage this with, if we were doing a summer feeding program 5-6 years ago, we would have been doing it sometime in June. But because schools have changed their schedules so dramatically to be out by Memorial Day, you've all had to switch and get everybody in place. So between schools changing and COVID and all the other things out there, you've been a very nimble group here to be able to pull this off every year.
Yeah, and one of the things, you just had to always be prepared, make adjustments, and understand that, you know, sometimes there's going to be wrenches thrown into your plans. Had to adjust on the fly and keep going. You know, With the schools making a change, you know, we have been able to adjust and, like, okay, we know it's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, for some reason, it seemed like it snuck up on me a lot quicker this year than it did the last 2 years. I don't know why, but, you know, we're going to do our best. We're going to get through it. We got a lot of sites this year. We got a lot more sites this year than we've ever had, which is going to be a challenge. But, you know, I feel confident that we will be able to provide. Unfortunately, you know, we may not be able to fulfill all the need in the community. It's just, you know, because we do have limitations. We're just limited as to how many boxes and how many meals we can prepare. But we're going to do our best to try to fulfill as many and feed as many kids as we can.
So we talk about the meals. What are they getting and how are these meals prepared? Because there's so many layers to this. There's the getting the sites, but then there's also the preparing the food and getting it there and all of that.
So just like last year was the first time that we were in a situation where we had operated two different type sites. Prior to COVID, all the sites would congregate where the kids had to eat the meals on site.
Mm-hmm.
When COVID happened, they created a model where people could take the meals and go and then had to eat on site because you couldn't have large gatherings. Last year, they brought back the congregate where the kids had to eat the meals on site. Did cause a lot of confusion in the beginning because you had so many families that were used to being able to just come and pick the meals and go. And unfortunately, because of the rules and regulations, you know, we had explained that they had to eat the meal here on site.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's a little bit of confusion, but as the summer went on, people got adjusted to it and were able to continue with the program. The libraries love the eating on site because it gets the kids in the library, gets them, you know, keeps their minds engaged throughout the summer. They're able to run programs, you know, get ones who don't have library cards, sign up for library cards. So they mm-hmm. they love having the kids inside, having the kids on site. I know some parents, because of their, job schedule, it's harder for them to bring them there, have them eat the meal on site, take them back home, get back to the job. So, you know, being able to pick up a meal is easier, more convenient for them. You know, so, but this year we're going to have, I don't know if you're ready for me to go into it. It's a lot. I really can suggest to anybody who's listening, it's probably going to be best for you to go to our website.
That's what I figured.
Because if you're driving or even if you're at home, I'm not even sure if you can write all this down fast enough.
Or even remember it.
Remember it. I can't remember it. I got it laid out in front of me.
You have it. You got here early.
I know you was impressed with me the first year because I was able to tell you all the sites, times, and everything. I'm not even going to take a chance. So we'll have sites in – this is the first year we have sites in King George. I just want to touch on that real quick.
That is a first.
That I think ever.
It is, yeah. The reason you can have sites is driven by the proportion of students in a school area that are receiving free or reduced meals.
Okay.
Because it is a program designed to help those on the margins, you can't just establish these sites anywhere. So the Department of Education regulations stipulate what school areas or zones qualify as regions that this program can be inserted into. And this is the first year, to my understanding, that any parts of King George have qualified for that, and hence we're stepping in and taking that space. Yeah.
And I may be wrong, but this year what they've also done, they've given us a map where they found low-income areas throughout the county. So it may be a situation where the school zone is not over 50% free reduced lunch, but there's different pockets within that school zone that would qualify as low-income and rural, and we were able to hit a couple of those pockets in King George
What a great idea!
Yeah. So, you know, it's as things evolve, as I guess USDA look at look at their map and how they're what they provide for us as far as how we can serve kids, you know, they realize there are certain areas, like even though maybe a school doesn't qualify, there might be an area in that school zone that does qualify where there is a need, because there's always needs. There are needs everywhere. So let's start with the we'll start with Stafford, just because of the fact that Stafford would be our first pickup site. At Stafford, we'll have where parents can actually come and pick up meals. The meals will have 7 breakfasts, 7 lunches in the boxes for the kids. We'll be at Patawomeck Park on Monday from 10:30 to 12. And then we'll also be at Brook Point High School on Monday from 11:15 to 12:45, where parents can actually come and pick up meals for their kids. These are for the ones who are unable to get to a site where the kids can eat the meal on site. And Stafford will be at Howell Library on Tuesday through Friday from 11:45 to 12:45. Now, last year we were there from 11:45 to 1:15, but we cut it back a half an hour. And that's just because last year, after about 12:30, 12:45, we didn't have a lot of people coming.
Right, and why keep your people? Have to keep your people around.
Attendance. So we'll see. And if we see that we need to make an adjustment, we'll go ahead and make an adjustment. We will be starting at Patawomeck Park. June 3rd will be the first day that we will be there. We will be there through August the 5th. Same thing for Brook Point High School, June 3rd to August the 5th. We'll be starting at the Howell Library from June the 4th, and we'll be there until August the 9th. There will be no service June 19th and July 4th, those days. Mm-hmm. But you can definitely go ahead on site. And those are people who live in Stafford County. You can look that up. So those who aren't able to get to Howell Library to eat a meal, you're more than welcome to go to Patawomeck Park and Brook Point to pick up your boxes. Then on Tuesdays, we'll be back at the Walmart Supercenter in Locust Grove. That was probably one of our biggest sites last year as far as distribution of meals. We'll be there from 10 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock. And we'll be starting that. May 28th will be the first day we'll be there. And we'll be there until July 30th. So out there at Locust Grove. Mm-hmm. And then also on Tuesday, my driver, he will leave there. And then he'll go down to Thornburg Middle School. So this will be our first time that we'll be in Spotsylvania County. We'll be in Spotsylvania County on Tuesdays from 1:30 to 3 at Thornburg Middle School handing out meals. This year, things that are different. Last year, what the way the rules were set up is a county was either rural or non-rural. So if last year Spotsylvania was considered non-rural, so we could not do parent pickup at any place in Spotsylvania County.
Right.
This year, once again, like I said, as things evolve, as they look at the rules and the processes, they realize that there are areas in the county that are rural, and parent pickup will probably be a better process. So this year, which is on the backside for us, a little bit more paperwork and planning to have to do, there are areas in Spotsylvania County that are rural where you can do parent pickup. So that's why we're able to do parent pickup at Thornburg Middle School.
Okay.
But then also we will be at Salem Church Library, as always, from Tuesday through Thursday. And we'll be there from 12 to 1:30, where the kids had to eat the meal on site. So if you come to Salem Church Library, you had to bring your kids inside, had to eat the meal there on site. They can't take the meal home with them. They have to eat the meal on site. I know we had a few people last year who came to Salem Church, and they were looking for the truck in the parking lot like it had been the past couple of years. Not understanding that they had to come inside and eat the meal on site. But that's great. The library staff is great there. And at Howell, they have a lot of high school kids that come help volunteer. They interact with the kids and keep them engaged. So we'll be at Salem Church Library on Tuesday through Thursday, eating on site from June the 4th to August the 8th. Once again, all the sites, June 19th, July 4th, we won't be serving
sure.
meals. So I'm not going to say that again. Then also on Thursdays, we'll be at John J. Wright Education and Cultural Center handing out meals. And that will be from May 30th to August 8th. And we will be there from 12 o'clock to 1:30. So all of the sites, Thornburg is 1:30 to 3:30, but John J. Wright will be 12 to 1:30
sure.
In Spotsylvania County. One of the ones that's going to be totally different, something totally brand new. My supervisor, Carrie Seeley, is always thinking outside of the box. We will be actually at our main location, the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank at 3631 Lee Hill School Drive on Fridays from 4:30 to 6:30 with a game night and meal. So,
oh, how fun is that?
Yeah. Yeah, so that should be fun. It's kind of trying to create like a family atmosphere. Come out, play games, eat a meal.
Yeah.
We had thought about a movie night, but then we thought about the time that we would have to be out there so it'd be dark enough to do a movie night out in the field.
After
it was a little bit too late. So we said, let's just go with a game night. So we're doing a game night on Fridays from 4:30 to 6:30. Let me know when we had to go to commercial break because I got a lot to go through.
Oh, keep going.
I don't want to run over time.
You're good.
We'll also be back at the Spotsylvania Farmers Market. This is another situation because the first year at the Farmers Market, you could grab the meals and go. Last year, we had to explain they had to eat the meals on site. So little, retraining things there. We'll be back at the Farmers Market from 10 to 12. June 1st will be our first day there, and we will end on August the 24th will be our last day at the Farmers Market. So we will be at the Farmers Market. Let me make sure I got all of Spotsylvania before we move on to Caroline County.
You have covered a lot. It covers a lot in Spotsylvania.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sites. Did I get it all, Dan?
You did.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Right. Point.
So that's where we're going to be. So let's go on to Caroline County, which is where we will be at on Wednesdays and one site on Thursdays. So we'll be – last year we were at 6 sites in Caroline County. This year we will be at 5 sites. In Caroline County, we'll be back at Lotus Academy and Oxford Mount Zion, which are two sites that have been there the 3 years that I have run the program. We'll be in Caroline County on Wednesdays. So we'll be at Lotus Academy from 10:30 to 12 on Wednesdays. And everything in Caroline is pick, grab and go, where parents can come and pick up the meals. And we'll be at Oxford Mount Zion from 11:15 to 12:45. We will be at New Liberty Baptist Church off of Sparta Road. We were there last year. It was a great site for us. We will be there from 11 to 12:30. And a new site this year is Mount Tabor Baptist Church on Mattapani Trail. We will be there from 12 to 1:30. So all those sites are on Wednesday. All those sites are grab and go. And then we will be at Rehoboth United Methodist Church on Thursday from 10:30 to 12. That site kind of aligns with the John J. Wright site in Spotsylvania County also on Thursdays. So that will be the site that we'll be at in Caroline County on Thursdays. And then finally on Fridays, we will be in King George County. We'll be at Sealson Elementary School from 10:30 to 12. And then we'll be at Good Hope Baptist Church from 11:15 to 12:45. And once again, that's those two are grab-and-go sites. Those are two areas we were able to define that we were able to set up and had the program and offer these meals for the first time in King George County. I spoke with Anita Davis, who's in charge of nutrition in King George County. She thought that those sites would be great sites for us to be at, and she was excited about us being able to offer that program in King George County this year. Now, one of the things that is different this year that I want to make sure I touch on, I almost forgot, is parents need to register their kids for the program. It's just a way for us to be able to track who we're serving. So many times, like last year, I'm just going to be honest, Dan was like, that was great. Y'all, we did over 147,000 meals. Curtis, how many kids did we serve? Oh, we never tracked the kids.
Yeah.
And I know it's extra steps. So some parents are like, oh, why I got to do this? But it's a way of us to being able to, one, know how many kids we're actually impacting. How many kids are coming, and how many kids are getting a meal once this summer, or how many got every week that we serve meals. It gives us a way to understanding of how well of a job are we doing. Because if you have a lot of repeat, then okay, we're doing a good job. We're offering things that they're enjoying, things that they're enjoying the eating. And then if we look like, okay, we're not having a lot of people come back, then maybe we need to rethink our menu. Maybe we need to rethink what we're offering to the kids. And it's good to offer it. It's better to have them eat it.
Right.
Yeah,
that's ultimately what you're there for.
Yeah. It's great to say, oh, we served 147,000 meals. It's better to know how many of those meals got eaten.
So do they register ahead of time, or do they register,
Ahead
when
of time.
They...
And we know that everybody won't be able to register ahead of time, so some will be able to, they'll be able to register
right
when you sign the kid up. So I know I'm already expecting the first day every site is going to be a little chaotic. In my mind, it's like, okay, how can we get through this as easy as possible? But they can register. You can go on there and register now. Go on the website.
Fredfood.org?
And find the QR code. We have passed out some flyers with the QR code already.
Okay.
I did a school event last Thursday. I was passing out some of the cards with the QR code on it. So if you can get your kid registered ahead of time, that'll be great. It, you know, ask you where you'll be most likely picking up your meals from or eating your meals at. But yeah, this year we had to get the kids registered. You know, we're not asking any personal information. We just want to know who we're serving.
Numbers, yeah. Got to take a quick break and continue on. Good stuff. Curtis Dickerson, Dan Mayer here this morning with the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank. We are talking about summer feeding. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dan Mayer and Curtis Dickerson in this morning from the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank as we talk about the summer feeding program. Wow, Dan, as we go through the list and you hear all of the sites, that boy, that just puts it into such just... You see it, the need right there.
It does. My head's spinning with all the details that Curtis has to coordinate. That's why we have specialists who can get into these details and focus on the nuts and bolts of these programs, and I'm grateful for that. But it really does highlight to us that there are many moving pieces that need to be put into place. And I think the thing that it highlights to me is the essential need for volunteers. You know, Curtis can lead efforts, but when you look at these 16 sites spread around the community, he can't be all places at all times. And even the drivers that we send out who help monitor these sites for Curtis, they've got to move from site to site. So we really are very dependent on volunteers and ideally faithful volunteers who can take regular recurring shifts. That is very helpful to us. But we need volunteers to help staff these sites to either serve the meals when they're the one-time meal service to the children, or provide the boxes of meals in a kind of a distribution line fashion, offload the truck, and then help give the boxes out to the children. And then the boxes have to come from somewhere, so the assembly of those boxes is a very critical volunteer component. Curtis referenced we're putting 7 breakfasts and 7 lunches in a box every week. So we have 3 assembly line shifts a week. There's a Wednesday daytime shift from 10 to 12 that we'll be having, a Thursday evening shift from 5 to 7, and a Saturday shift, which will generally be 10 to 12, although sometimes we have to pivot that because we have other assembly lines on Saturdays as well. So we really need assembly line volunteers to put these boxes of food together. It's pretty easily done, but it takes bodies. And then the meals that are actually prepared for service to the student, to the youth, we need kitchen support to pull that off. Kelly Hodge is our kitchen coordinator who works with Carrie Seeley, a director of programs, to put the menus together and execute on those menus. But we do need volunteers who can help, you know, prepare the sandwiches or pack the snacks that are going into those meals, get the juices pulled together, those kinds of things. So again, it's relatively easy. It's not like we need chefs, but we need people who are comfortable putting some elements in a kitchen together for these meals. So 3 really critical volunteer roles. Lots of volunteers needed, but also lots of potential skills needed. And we know different people have different interests, and we just really appeal to people to come out and serve in a way that's helpful to satisfying their spirit.
And Dan, as you describe that, what you do need and what you mention, and just to highlight it again, is faithful volunteers that can show up and do this, because you just need hands to put these boxes together.
Yeah, ideally, if we've had from past experience, people seem to love certain tasks and they will come back. You know, they'll be in the kitchen several days a week, or they'll be on the assembly line, you know, once a week, mm-hmm. or they'll be at these sites every time they're operating, you know, to pass out the food. People do tend to find that it satisfies their soul and they want to come back to these events. But there are just so many volunteers needed that even if somebody cannot be a recurring volunteer coming out throughout the course of the summer, to be on an assembly line once or twice during the summer is very helpful. To be in that kitchen a few times during the summer is very helpful. So, you know, just we really encourage people. We will soon have up on our website, fredfood.org, all of the volunteer opportunities and shifts. We really appeal to people to be looking at that website frequently, fredfood.org, using the volunteer tab, seeing new opportunities that have been presented there. The difficult thing with this program to some degree is, Curtis joked, it comes up on him quickly. Partly that's because the application process for this program really doesn't get a decision from the Department of Education who the contractor will be, what sites will be approved, until about mid-May. And we have to execute on this late May. So it really makes us responsible to turn this around very quickly and turn on all the volunteer opportunities, all the strategies. We obviously have to prepare for them, assuming we're going to get our application approved. But we can't formally create an awareness of the schedule of sites, of the volunteer needs, until we get that contract approved, because otherwise it's all fruitless effort. So, you know, really it puts us under pressure to just turn things on in a couple weeks span and get this rolling. So we really appeal to people. Fredfood.org, please be looking at that frequently for new volunteer opportunities that go up there.
Curtis, you are just awesome, because when Dan says the middle of May, I'm thinking as he's leading up to that, I'm thinking, well, the middle of February would be a tight squeeze. Boy, this does have to come together, and, you know, kudos to all those that volunteer and for people that now consider this to become volunteers. And I think, Dan, the last time I was over at the food bank, I had remarked to you that while I was waiting for you to hear the volunteers just having a great time. I mean, they were in another room and they were having a blast. I mean, I wanted to go over there and just say, what's all the fun? Can I do this?
Yeah, our kickoff assembly line for packing summer boxes was last Wednesday. And just coincidentally, our volunteer coordinator, Dominique Thomas, had lots of groups that said, we want to help with something. And they all wanted the same date. So she used that date as the kickoff for summer box packing. And yeah, we had five corporate groups out there, and, you know, even a couple of our own individualized volunteers. So yeah, just a lot of fun, because those groups, they knew one another from their corporation, but they didn't know one another in the community.
Yeah.
But then by the time you're a half an hour into the packing, you know, they're all getting along, all having team building, all feeling competitive about, let's get this stuff done. So those assembly lines can be very fun opportunities. The distribution sites, Curtis referenced, you know, people come back all summer long because they just love interacting with those families, seeing the same families often, seeing the same volunteers often. It does kind of build its own little mini community to be a volunteer during the summer nutrition program. And so, you know, we're just very grateful for those who do come back on a recurring, faithful basis. It makes our program more predictable. But we need people who can just give us a few hours at a time during the summer, and that's very helpful too.
Yeah, I'll be at some of the grab-and-go sites last year, and, you know, I come out to monitor, and the people who are distributing the boxes, they know the car pull up, they go, that's four. There could be four boxes. There'll be five boxes. There'll be two boxes. They get to the point that they know the car. They know how many boxes to get prepared for the cars. There's like three, four cars back in line, you know, because they've developed that relationship with those people, and you know, they get happy to see the kids. Last year I had a high school kid who came to volunteer, And this is kind of Dan touched on it. We have many different volunteer opportunities, and I think he signed up for every different opportunity. He was at the box pack. He was at the distribution site handing out boxes. He was at the library handing out meals. He just was involved in everything. I saw him earlier this spring, and his mom said she wants to come and volunteer this year. His younger brother wants to come volunteer this year. So, you know, that's what it's about, getting people coming out, they're enjoying it, and then they're bringing others along with them to come help and to come assist us.
Well, it is a great team building kind of thing.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, it highlights the fact that this is a community taking care of its community, that we really are all neighbors to one another, and that those of us who have been blessed and who have some time to offer to this or some financial resources to offer to this, fredfood.org is also a place where people can donate money to help us through the summer season and make sure that we have the resources we need. We do have a federal contract which provides us many resources for this, especially the ability to buy the food and support some of the staff time. But there are many expenses associated with operating our programs during the summer. So fredfood.org is a great way to get involved as a volunteer, as a financial supporter of this. And then our social media Will be a great outlet for families who need to understand, where do I go for these food resources? We will, with some frequency, be putting up the schedule so that if people come midstream in the summer and are like, didn't need these food resources or didn't think about them until mid-July, they can still, during the course of the summer, go to our social media and our website and find the resources by seeing the schedule. So our Facebook sites would be very helpful for people in need of the food resources. And then our website would be helpful to that group of people, as well as those who want to commit to volunteerism or to financial support. So fredfood.org, our website, and then Facebook would be the best social media resource for us, our own Facebook site.
And again, consider financially becoming involved with what you do.
Yeah, very critical, because, I mean, this is a program that takes on a lot of life of its own during the summer and occupies a lot of our staff focus, but we certainly still continue to work with our agency partners within the community, as well as our mobile pantries that we operate, our direct distributions that we operate. Our SNAP enrollment goes on during the summer. So there's still a lot of ways we continue to serve the community. That's why summer is for us our busiest season in most respects. And so we need those financial resources to help us manage and operate all these programs so that all of them can be provided and something doesn't suffer because we pivot and focus on the summer nutrition for youth. We want to keep our senior programs strong. We want to keep our SNAP enrollment strong. We want to keep our mobile pantries strong. All these things are very critical to us.
And in all those other things, even though this we have mainly focused on the summer nutrition for the kids, these other programs you talked about, that all continues. And so it doesn't slow down.
They don't. And they, in their own way, in many respects, are resources for kids as well.
Sure.
Because our agency partners are feeding families during the summer. Our mobile pantries are feeding families during the summer. So not only are we reaching families in need through the summer nutrition programs, but maintaining our other programs and keeping those strong also help impact the families that have youth and then the adults in those families as well.
I don't think I ever told you. Last summer, when I was with Curtis, and we were at one of the sites, and we were there maybe half hour, 45 minutes, and all these people kept coming up to you with questions, and Curtis, you were just unflappable. I mean, there were different times I would have just gotten frustrated from answering the same question over and over, and you just calmly handled it, and. Boy, you have found your calling with all of this. Curtis Dickerson and Dan Mayer with the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank here, fredfood.org. We'll wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Summer Nutrition for Kids, the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank in this morning. Dan Mayer and Curtis Dickerson here. It starts real soon, and Curtis, you mentioned one of the changes this year is you need everyone to sign up.
Yeah. Just one of the things is to remember, had to register. If you can register your kid before time, that's great. When you get to the site, you may have to register your kid, so that's going to be something new. So we want to get that word out. So and there's going to be some confusion, like I didn't have to do this in the past. Why'd I have to do it now? One of the changes, and also, like I said, it's going to help us to be able to track how many kids we're helping, how many kids we're assisting, and how many we have coming back as far as with any business, repeat business, how much repeat business we're having coming back throughout the summer.
So that'll be interesting to see. So you can do that. I guess go to fredfood.org or, like you said, I guess you do it on site if you.
Yeah, we do it on site. We have a QR code. You'll be able to scan on site. Those who got smartphones, which probably 90% of the population or more have a smartphone, you can scan the QR code and pull up and register your information.
And you went through all the sites, but all you can find all of that.
Yeah, we
find all of that. We're not going to go through that
again.
No, but. It just shows, and you're in places. You're in King George this year. You haven't been, or you're in. You know, things change. You've added, and as we talked about, Dan, there really is the need for volunteers to make this program work. Volunteers at all levels.
Yeah. We're trying to put together this year about 340,000 meals is our projection based on these sites and the 14 meals in a box for the week. So that's an extraordinary number and would be far and away a record number. Last year was a record number of about 150,000 meals. So it just incrementally grows each year with some of the ability to add sites, some of the relaxation of the rules that the Department of Education uses for the program. So we're just trying to lean into that and be as much at capacity as we can be. So we're going to need volunteers clearly for box packing, for distribution of these food boxes, as well as kitchen preparation for the meals that we serve. So to put 340,000 meals out in the summer would be a very satisfying experience, but you know, we can't do it alone. And we need volunteers, and hopefully they can join in the satisfaction of that experience.
340,000, and that's not even everybody, because as you've described, the city has, they have their own program.
Yeah, we are not the only contractor doing this. We're certainly one of the major ones, but we would encourage families, there's a text number that allows them to find an interactive map that will show them sites across the community. So text the word food or comida to 304-304, food or comida to 304-304, and that will be a universal resource that shows you not only our sites, but all the sites that contractors around the community are operating. So we really do encourage people, this isn't just about the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank, it's about getting your children fed. So text food or comida to 304-304. And then on our Facebook, you can find our sites listed, as well as through our website, fredfood.org. You can find ways to volunteer at fredfood.org and ways to donate if you wish to have a heart and financially support our summer feeding and our other programs. fredfood.org.
And both are needed. Both, as we have talked about this, in 340,000, just to write that number down and look at it and know it, that's just in your little, in your part of the world. So both volunteers and just financially for this program, for what you do in the holidays, for what you do all year round. If you can become a regular donor to the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank, that just, there's so much more you can do when you're the one purchasing the food.
Absolutely. We can leverage it so much more, because every dollar donated yields two meals based on our historical trajectory. And that's just because we deal with so many donated food products, donated labor. So you can't match that in purchasing food for us. We need the financial resources to be able to leverage that. And I just want to say, Ted, we might let Curtis sleep about 8 hours this summer. I don't mean 8 hours a night. I mean like 8 hours
all
during the summer. It's going to be a very long summer for Curtis. So the more people can be supportive of our operations, the more it takes stress off a great man like him.
I was just thinking, I was going to say, Curtis, when do you ever have a chance to catch your breath?
At the end of the summer.
All of this. And the other thing is, if you go in volunteer or involved in one of these sites, one of the other things that will be ingrained in your mind is how many coolers you have. I don't know how. That's why you needed more space. The food bank needed more space to store these coolers. Because all these sites that you talk about, you're dealing with a lot of food. And when you're talking about 340,000, you know, meals this summer, that's a lot of coolers.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
So I mean, there's the packing them, the transporting them, the bringing them back. Whew, it is a lot.
It's teamwork. Curtis is like a general mobilizing an army. You know, it really is a lot of teamwork, a lot of staff support as well.
Yeah,
and people who pivot to put their energy into summer feeding during the summer season. A lot of staff deserve a lot of credit.
Yeah, we had a lot of staff help out last year that stepped out. You know, there were a couple times when a site supervisor couldn't make a site because of a family emergency,
mm-hmm.
and I had to grab a staff member like, hey, I know you got work to do, but can you help me for a couple hours? And everybody was great. They're like, Curtis, I got you. And they would go out, they'll watch a site for me, a supervisor site for me, like, I'm good, I can help you out. And it was great. It was great just working with a team like that, where you know, if you look over your shoulder, you got a group of people behind you. It's great having that, knowing that they're going to pick you up and lift you up. So we have a great team. Everyone, I don't want to start naming team members at the food bank, but everyone is great, and we're all there to help each other out.
Well, you two are great. Dan Mayer and Curtis Dickerson, thank you both for what you're doing, and we'll stay in touch and talk about this summer and hopefully get the community involved. fredfood.org for more information. Thanks for both.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you this summer, Tim.
That is it. Thank you for listening. Get involved with the food bank this summer. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.